This morning, I want to share with you a new series that I'm looking forward to getting to it. It's how to build a happy home. Okay? And in order to be a happy home, you have to put some time and effort to it, right? Right? To be successful, you have to put time and effort to it. Now, I'm going to speak on the subject. Sometimes it's related to you, and it's mainly related, and so I'm going to shift a little gear, focus on children more than parent, if you will. So you see both sides. George Herbert Walker Bush. He said to none beside Adam, as a president of the United States, and able to see his son to be a president of the United States. Right? A president of the United States and his son to be president. And he able to see his son grow up to be a governor of Florida. A very powerful man that he was served two term of vice president. He able to be a hero and leading out of the World War II. He was a head of the CIA and was an ambassador to China and many, many, many things. Now, there's an interview to ask him, what do you think about success? What do you define success? Now, you and I, when I first look at it, maybe this political leader is going to share with you something, how to make America great. Well, very provoking idea. What he asked, the question is this, what is the most achievement have you done? And he replied this, my greatest success is to see my children still come home. I mean, we're shocked. I mean, they thought he was going to talk about a political issue, but he talked about his family. Now, a leader doesn't mean ignore your family. Matter of fact, in order to be successful, you need your family. He said a very key thing is to see your children come home, to see your children follow God. And that is profound, not only to him, but for each one of us as a Christian. He understands the importance of home, and he also understands how important is a successful father. And today is very sad to see that fatherhood is going down the drain. Now, do you see that? Somehow, there's losing respect of the father. There's many things happen. I will share with you some statistics later. But the First Lady, Barbara Bush, said this, your success is a family. Our success is a nation. But it's not depend on the White House, but depend on your house. Man, that's good. It's your home is where it makes success. If the country be successful, depend on a successful of a home. Now, we take time to build up a home. Or we focus on something else. And sometimes we have our priority wrong. We focus on something outside the home. How to have a highest degree. How to buy a most beautiful home. And how to acquire as much success as possible. We consider the success. But friend, that's not what God defined. There's something more than that. Now, I heard Ben Carson give a speech in front of the National Prayer Breakfast. And next to him is President Obama sitting there. And amazing what he say about this. Our country, we put priority wrong. We focus on sport higher than education. And that's why education is so poor in this country. When you see a football player, you give them a big trophy and give them $30,000 scholarship to go to college. When someone got straight A, you give them a certificate and $1,000 to go to college. No wonder many young people focus on to be a best athletic instead of a best educator. And that's where a problem is happening in this country. Children are focused on game and sport more than education. Now, do we have our priority wrong here about home? I see we want to have a home, but father do his own thing, mother do her own thing, and children want to do their own things. And that's why so many young people, they say, you know what? I don't want to get married. I want to be single. I don't want to be confined to our home and so much responsibility. And that's why we see so many young people have no one to lead, no figure to follow. And that's why fatherhood is so important. So important today. And God have used so many examples. Father, your children just like father and son. He used so many examples. He ran out through all the Bible. Say, Father. I know, sometimes use mother, but mostly he talked about father. And so he wanted you to focus on the fatherhood. One of four children does not have father in the home. One out of four children. It's so sad. Now you think a perfect family is required both father and mother? Do you believe in that? You don't believe in that. No one's saying. Do you believe that God created a first family, have father and mother? Yes or no? Yes. Today's society, that's not a standard anymore. That's just another option. A family can have two male, a family can have two female as parents. A family can have single parent and can have children. That's how Hollywood has been defined. That's not according to my Bible. And so we're wondering why our family have a problem in this country. 41% of children grow up into, only 41% grow up into two-parent family. Only 41%, what do the other have? Almost 1 million grow up with one parent because of divorce. Millions of children grow up only one parent. It's hard. Who take care of the children when one parent go to work? Who lead out of a father figure or even mother figure? Fatherless child, 100 to 200% of fatherless child more likely have emotional problems. They have more emotional problems, believe it or not. Twice likely use drug and alcohol. Sexually active at the early age. 3 times more likely commit crime. That's a problem we face. A lot of times society says, we don't need father. Now, I don't know about you. I'm sitting in front of you, and I don't know if we recorded this or not, and I might get in trouble. But see, the feminist movement coming now, somehow fatherhood has going downhill. It shocked to me when I saw an advertisement on the television. Advertisement about cooking or a diaper and all that and take care of children. And the next thing I saw is a father. I never see that before. I see a mother helping that cut up a role. And now it's father. Believe it or not, I see so many fathers become a husband, if you will. And that's not what God intended to be. And maybe something wrong with men today. You know, we're not stepping up. We feel like maybe a lady can do the work. They make more money. And let them be a leader of the home. And so we're shrinking down and we don't step up. We as men need to step up. And I say to many young people, you were facing that. We need to step up. We need to get educated. And we need to be a breadwinner. We need to work for the family. At the same time, the wife or the woman of the home, please respect your husband so your children respect their father. Don't you agree? That is so important. But their responsibility is come with that. In order to have a happy family, a perfect family, a parent, a father must carry on the responsibility. Everyone in the home have responsibility. Wouldn't it be nice to have a perfect family? Look with me in the book of Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. There's many texts talk about, you know, children, if the children raise up right, the family would be happy. Happy. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 24 and 25. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. If I see my children grow up righteous, I will be rejoiced. And he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my way. On and on. So children is very important. Turn with me in another text here. Psalm chapter 127. Book of Psalms, Psalm 127, verse 3 through 5. Psalm 127, if you have it, say amen. You have it?
Amen.
All right. Psalm 127, verse 3 to 5. Behold, children are heritage from the Lord. The fruit of your womb is he reward. Like the arrow in the hand of the warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is a man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemy in the gate. In other words, God gives the children is a blessing for the parent. It's a blessing. I'm sorry, I know some of them, I haven't seen any family have a children here. Is it a blessing or not? Okay. It's a blessing. And sometimes people are tired of it. You know, I miss, you know. If I would have my way, I would have more children. Children is a blessing. God said, go and multiply, right? It's a blessing. And sometimes we feel, oh, so much work. God says it's a blessing. And God asks us to mold just like an arrow, nice and sharp and the feather in the right place. So when you shoot the arrow exactly straight right into the target, that's how we mold the children. A lot of time, many parents, especially fathers, do not mold the children. They let the Hollywood mold the children. It takes time to mold them. Sometimes we feel like we don't have time because our priority. I wish there was a way that we can go back to a way that just the father's working and they have enough money to care the family. Because we need to spend time with the children. Okay, so now you see it's important of responsibility. Now I'm drawing you to a different way of example. Why responsibility is important? Why do we care? Do you care for your children if they do right or wrong? Or you say, you know what? If after the 18, that's it, I'm free. Or even some of the young people say, oh, I couldn't wait until I'm 18. I'm going to leave. I'm going to run away. I'm going to have my own life. I don't know about you, but in my vocabulary, 18 is not yet adulthood. There's many things still to learn. Because when I was 18, I'm thinking I know everything. Guess what? I went to the world. I don't know nothing. I was deep trouble. I mean, temptation left and right, and I just fall into it quickly. And so don't think that we're able to stand. We need our parent guidance. Now, I want to share with you a story you know very well about a parent or a father lead his children. Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we will look at this story and we will understand the responsibility of a father and mother. Verse 12. Now the sons of who? If Eli were corrupt, they did not know the Lord. Who is Eli? Isn't he the priest and prophet? And how can the children does not know the Lord? Now I'm wondering, you know, if any parent in this church, if they go to church and the children do not know the Lord. Is there? Yes. Sometimes I ask, where's our children? Why don't they know the Lord? They were going to church when they were young. They were serving to the sanctuary, the house of God? And why does the Bible say, do they do not know the Lord? Because the Lord said they were wicked. They were wicked. Two young people wicked. They do the wicked things in the house of God. As a people come into the sanctuary, as a priest, they need to take the best of this animal offering, and they're supposed to do in there, save the best for God. Okay, I don't have time to go into the how does the sacrificial system work, but they take for themselves. Instead of offer to the Lord, they take for themselves. They make the best for themselves. And the people come to the doors, they say, you're doing this wrong. And so they continue to do it anyway. And God is really upset with them. Skip to verse 34 to tell you who are they. Verse 34, and now this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons. And God talked to Eli. On Hophni and Phinehas. That's how you pronounce? Phinehas. On one day they shall die. You mean the same day both of them shall die. Now if the Lord come to me and say your son will die in the same day, right, that would shock to me. That's give me a wake up call. Right? Eli should do something about it. Did he do anything about it? You're going to watch out. He didn't do anything about it. And God have bring the curse down. Now, follow me clearly, carefully here. What wicked thing did they do? First thing I already told you, that they did not follow the instruction of the sacrifice service as they watch over the Ark of the Covenant as well. And the second thing, that the most wicked thing that they could do, verse 22. Now, as Eli was very old, and he heard, what did he do? He heard everything his son did to all Israel, and how they lay with the woman who assembly at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. What happened? The people come, these women come to Hophni and Phinehas, to take care of the tabernacle and stuff. And here, if you may, these two young men rape these women. Lie with these women. In the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord is a place to confess your sin, not to commit sin. And that's what exactly they did. Can you see how God very upset with this family? So God already said, I will send the curse down. Now one thing that Eli heard. Now that word is very important. He just heard. If I take care of my children and I just heard, that means I have not spent time enough to know what's going on. Is that right? I heard that's what they said. I heard that mother say this. I heard that what their friends say. Where am I? Didn't I know? Didn't I see them? Didn't I instruct them? Don't I have responsibility what they were doing? And that's what Eli did not spend time. Did not spend time. A lot of time we, or as a parent, the father go on as today say, you know what? I just don't have time. I can sense that, you know. This text has just hit my heart. I don't have time. I'm so busy with the work. Some of us busy to take home, to take care of the family. Some of us are too busy to take care of the church. But God give the responsibility of the children into the hand of the parent. That's the most important. When he come back, he will ask the question, what happened to your children? Just same thing when God came to Cain, said, what happened to Abel? We cannot say, you know, I don't know. They're old enough already. No. God requires for responsibility. And so that's what happened. So a lot of time we start to blame on the culture. We started blame on the circumstance. You know, people say, oh, it's so hard to raise children nowadays. That's why they don't want to have children. You heard of that? So hard. Hard to keep them. Matter of fact, it's so hard to put them to private school. And it's so hard, and so what can you do about it? Now, do you think during the time of Eli, is it hard? Or is it easy? Well, turn with me. As a writer wrote the book of Samuel, before that, the book of Judges. The very last verse in the book of Judges say this. Verse 25 of chapter 21. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Amazing. What is right in your own eyes? Who are you to tell me that I'm doing wrong? What makes you so right? And so everyone at today do everything in their own eyes. And here's define happy family, have parent, male and female. Another concept coming out, parent can be both male or both female. You see? And so no one going to dare to speak up and say what is right and wrong anymore. Bible says in the book of Isaiah, at the end time people call dark into light and light is dark. People call righteous become sin and sin is righteous. Today we couldn't distinguish that. And sometime today, you know, Dr. Ben Carson says, sometime we say this country is a freedom of speech. He says, probably not anymore. Because when we start to say our opinion, people start shooting us down. Right? You understand what I'm talking about? If I stand up and say, family, this is what the Bible defines, we got to shoot down. You're prejudiced. You're going against the national law. There's a time that we need to speak up regardless what this country have voted. Because we are God people. We are the people who follow the word of God. Am I right or wrong? And so this is what happened. The dark days that Eli have raised up his children. It's tough time. It's not easy. It's very hard. Mingle with the Philistine. Mingle with other faith, heathen, and they bring all these idol coming to the country. That's what they face in that. So that's no different from back then and now. So don't blame on the circumstance. Don't blame that that Hollywood came out with all these stuff. Don't blame the Apple came out with iPod. Don't blame. We have to be in charge. If we have to remove it, then we need to remove it. Now I speak into my mind and say, you know, if it costs me $500 to throw these toys away, it's better than lose my sons. And the devil do so miraculous way that he start to enter the home. You know, back then we saw TV. And now they don't need to do TV. You start your computer. Oh, no, they don't use computer. Now they just use the mobile device. All that happening. And so we have to be very careful. Don't let the world control our family. Now, we cannot blame the society because look at Daniel. He was sent to Babylon among with all these heathen. The way they eat, the way they drink, the way they talk, but he still lift up God as a shining light. Look at Moses in the darkest day of Egypt. Guess what? The people of God, the Israel, still be the light in that country. Look at me in the book of Exodus, I'm sorry. Exodus chapter 10. What happened to God's people? And it should be exactly the same thing at the end time as well. Exodus chapter 10, verse 22. Exodus chapter 10, verse 22. So verse 22 and verse 23. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did any rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel has light in their dwelling. The people of God should have light in this dark world. In this corrupt world, there is still light in the Christian home. We need to be the light to the world. And that's why God called family need to come back to the original as he created. The devil had break up the first family, and he will continue to break up every family as possible into the end time. Because he knows family is the foundation, faith of the children. If he break up the family, he can able to lure all the children on his side. Right? Because school will not take care of the children. The government will take care of the children. But if family will take care of the children, guess what? All the children belong to him. So back to the story of 1 Samuel now, the story of Eli again. What happened? Right in the middle of the text right there, I don't know what God intentionally put this text in there or not. From chapter 2, verse 12 to 17, it's talking about the wicked sons of Eli, and suddenly introduced Samuel. Right? Verse 18, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child wearing a linen ephod. And so this was the story here. Now the two parents, okay? Father and mother, Elkanah and Hannah, will come to the temple of God, ask God to bless them to have a child. And God gave him Samuel. What happened to Samuel? Does Samuel follow the same step of Eli? Children? No. Because look at verse 26. And the child Samuel grew in stature, in the favor both with the Lord and men, with people. Where Hophni and Phinehas against the Lord and against the people. And so even though circumstances like that, Samuel could grow up good. You see? So we cannot blame the circumstance. We cannot blame the culture. Right? And so that's what happened. Now, is there a consequence? If you do wicked things in the eyes of the Lord, there's a consequence? Yes. Continue read with me. Read with me here. Verse 31, behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arms and the arms of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. God will cut off this wicked family. God will cut off. God have said that. And God will do that. How will this prophecy come true? And turn with me a few more texts and you will see clearly. You turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 4. And here it is. They went out to battle. Chapter 4, verse 17. And they lose the battle so bad. And here there's a house of God here. I mean, Eli, as a prophet, a priest, lead out the children of Israel. Verse 17, after they lose a battle, they came back, and this is what they hear. So the messenger answered and said, Israel have fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. So sad. God people were slaughtered among the Philistines. And your son, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God has been captured. Is that right? The prophecy came through, right? And same day, both of those young men dead in the battle. Not only that, the ark of covenant would capture. That's amazing. That's the most important, if you will, in the eyes of Israel. And guess what? Verse 17. So the messenger, verse 18, I'm sorry. Then it happened when he made mention to the ark of God that Eli fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken and he died. On the same day, both the father and the children die. That's the result. What does that mean? That means because of sin of the children, the father have to take responsibility. I mean, it's sad to say that that's the equation. That's a formula. You cannot say, because my children sin, I have nothing to do with it. Today, the law of the land, you know, if your children are under 18 and he bring a gun to school and he did something, who responsible? The parent. The parent. So we, according to the Bible, we are responsible for the children's sin. I mean, this will shock you, right? I mean, shock you so bad that you have to watch out your children. Because God will require your blood if you don't take care of your children. And so that's what happened. God teaches a lesson right here. That do not blame anyone else because Samuel grew up pleasing the eyes of the Lord. But if a lawlessness children is a result of the wicked parent and disobedience, if we don't train the children upright, they will do wicked things and we're responsible. Is this hard to take, my friend? Is it hard to take? I find it's very hard. But God, that's what God wants us to do. We cannot bring children in this world and we let them run their own way. Same thing, God have given us a church and God allowed many children come here. We just don't let it open and they can do anything they want to. God wants us to shape and mold these children and young people so they can stand in the eyes of the Lord and find righteousness. So as we start with this series, I pray that each one of us to see the responsibility of parent. We're responsible for what we do. And for those children as well, do you know what you do? You affect your whole clan. Not only your parent, but the whole extended family. Do you know that? Do you know that even the house of God here, and we call a family of God, if one person do one thing wickedly, the whole family of God will suffer? Do you know that? Yes. And so each one of us are accountable to help each other, that we can help to grow this family. So the world will see in this dark world, this family of God still have a light, still burning bright. May God bless each one of you as you study the Word of God, make commitment, spend your time wisely, and put priorities straight so we can build up our family and also the family of God. May God bless you.